The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 11th of December, 2017. As I always tell everyone, stand up, take a deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and repeat, I am a winner, I am a champion. And you can add anything you want to that, and especially this time of year, you should be hammering stuff like that. Get ready for 2018, start in fresh, and get rolling, because there's too many people that talk too much shit and never do a thing. And they're the ones that are always going to come down and get in your face if you're not where they think you should be, or you're going up in flames yourself. They're the typical ones that tell you to quit what you're doing or go back to what you were doing. Or better yet, you can just read them that they don't have the guts to even try it themselves. So that's why you need to create that positive energy internally in you through different things that you manifest. And we've been doing a lot of shows like that, and we're going to be getting into a lot of that next year, especially Steve Cotter and myself. We've done a number of shows like that. There's other people involved here. And as I've said, this show is going to change a lot. And I think it's even going to be more direct and more harsh if it can get more. We are looking at a lot of avenues right now, and I don't see any that are anything more than another big win-win-win here. But that's how you evolve, that's how you grow, and that's your personality. So, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, and you got the Winner's Circle out there, soon to be called Winners and Champions, Inc. A little bit different, some new modules. There's probably going to be another new one, might be even this weekend. I'm going to demonstrate something that people have asked me repeatedly, the tri-quad dead stop or dead start squat, as we call it here. And I had a big conversation with John McKean the other night, who, in my opinion, is one of the greatest lifters I've ever talked to in my life, and hope to meet him. And at 70 years old, he's back throttling the power rack. And he and I are doing some stuff right now. I just got done and came in about an hour ago. I broke both records in the power rack today. I'm going into the fifth week of this style of training. It's going to take a while to get to what I was doing before, because you have to drop off when you're at the midpoint. But as John said to me the other day, he said, wait till you see the strength you're going to have when you switch back over, whatever you're going to do. So it's real exciting stuff. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got strongman Jeff King on here today. He'll be coming in shortly. Look at the shows I've done with Jeff, or look at the 850-plus shows I've done out there in 3 years. I don't know anybody that's crushed stuff like that with very little capital, by the way. Still got it done. Go out and look at the new Motivation Muscle page. It's not quite done, but it looks exceptional. I thank Douglas Graham for that. Also, too, contributions. I see everybody's got something to contribute. Well, we do, too. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. The contribute button, hit that. You got a 25, a 50, and 100. It goes directly to my PayPal account, and away you go. And everything on there is definitely worthy of somebody that really, really has the hunger to get big and strong. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day that's in all this stuff, and he had a couple kids coming to him, and they paid for these programs from these shysters in my area. Well, here's three of the movements they're telling a teenager to do when their testosterone is like a giant. And they got him working on a leg press, a one-arm row with their knee on the bench, and of course they got him doing bench presses. Now, they all might be worthy in one form or another, but that's not what you need to be doing when you're 15 years old. So, go out, look at the Winners and Champions Inc., which is coming up, and that's where it is. And it's very interesting to see what these people are doing. Last but not least, go out to motivationmuscle.com. You can sign up for our free newsletter. It's right at the, now it's right in the middle of the page. Sign up, it goes right to MailChimp, and away you go. So whenever I put out something, you'll get it. And that's the way it is. As I said, we got Jeff King coming in here momentarily, and I want to give you a little information on this gentleman. He's a Canadian strongman, martial artist, and an arm wrestling champion competitor around North America, despite being born with a mild cerebral palsy. Jeff, welcome back to the show, brother.
Thanks, Eric.
You are welcome. Give anybody out if you've got websites or what you're going into, and we're going to get into an interesting subject, especially it's near the end of the year, and I just hit upon about these kids, the way they're getting, you know, I imagine their parents are paying for these programs, and maybe hopefully they're not paying a lot, but man, oh man, you talk about hitting a brick wall, and that's going to come up, I'm sure, today. But Jeff, anything you got to add, man? Like I said, websites, anything I missed? Take it away.
Okay, well, first of all, I've got an Instagram. It's jking152. That's J-K-I-N-G 152. You can find me on there if you search that. That's a lot of training stuff I post on there, like we're going to be talking about today. I have a YouTube page that I've been working on as well. I can post that in the comment section once this interview gets posted. And find me on Facebook as well. I'm on there. That's probably the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
If the listeners like what we're talking about in this show or some of the previous shows that we did, I think this is number 5, actually.
Yeah.
So if they like what we're talking about, you can find me on Facebook pretty easily. You can even tag me. The best way is tag me in the post when you post this up on Facebook.
Yep.
And people can, if they like what they hear, or they don't like what they hear, or they just think I'm full of it, fine. Just, you know, friend me on Facebook, you know?
So, yeah. It's not going to be that. The shows, the last two shows especially, I mean, it's been a great year here. Everything's gone up. But I'll tell you what, the one I did with Mark Lumbaga the other day and Carmen Caputo, I've been getting notes from so many people saying, you know, maybe that's the best stuff you've ever done. You know, I couldn't tell you, but I can tell you this. The rest of this week is going to be pretty interesting with some of the guests coming on. And one of the big things that is coming, and, you know, we've been getting, there's so many new stone people that have come into Etched in Stone. It's un-friggin' believable. But, you know, we've got Dr. William Crawford on Saturday, which is always a smoker because there's been so many people have sent me notes. You know, I went out, I listened to some old shows of you and Bill, or a couple of the guys want to know where they could find Steve Jeck's basically DVD. And when Steve's been on here a few times, he gave me a link and I sent it to him, you know, when he started all the Iceland stuff off. So there's a hell of a lot of good stuff going on here. Anybody that's in the grip like crazy, we got Cody Burns on here for the first time this weekend. And Jake Reynolds is on his way back. Hopefully he's over his sickness. There's a lot of other people, and it's going to be a fun, fun week. And Jeff gets to start the big week off. So we're going to talk about favorites. So, Jeff, this is I just think this is a fun show in itself because you get to talk about what you like to do. You get people maybe that haven't done stuff that you've done stirred up, and that's the idea here, to inspire. So what do you like to do? What's the first movement that might be your favorite to play around with?
Okay, well, there's a lot, actually. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to talk about a couple of different exercises for a couple of different body parts, okay?
It's yeah.
easy. We can break that down. You said about the bench press, the rows, and the leg press. Fine.
But, yeah.
And, you know, that's probably good for somebody who's never, you know, who's just never been in a gym before, and they, you know, and it's safety issues with the leg press, fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really what we're talking about here. Because I'm a grip guy as well.
Right.
And I'll be listening to the new show coming up for sure. Just
yep.
interested to see what they have to say.
Yep.
I really enjoy doing curls or reverse curls with a thick bar.
Yep.
For biceps, because you get the double whammy with the grip and the forearms in there as well. And if you don't have something like a fat bar or the fat grippy things, I mean, you can wrap your bar with duct tape or towels, and
sure.
they still do the same effect, right?
Yeah.
So, and like I said, that gives you kind of the double whammy as far as, like, arm training. And then as far as, like, back or just overall and legs, sled pull or sled push is awesome, like, for cardio as well. If you have a prowler or, like, a regular, you know, a good sled, that's awesome.
Yep.
You know, but you can also, I'm sure you've done this, you know, I did this the other day, too. We were pulling a tire back and forth.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You just chain up a big tire and put a handle or put a rope on it and just go to town, you know?
Yep.
And that's actually harder because it's not a nice little skid on it either, you know?
No.
That can be a workout by itself. Forget about it. So, shoulders. I like the one-arm clean and press because I can't do traditional clean and presses with a straight bar because of certain issues and limitations I have.
Yep.
So I tend to do them with a dumbbell or a kettlebell, you know, one side at a time. And if I need to spot my other side, my weaker side with my other hand, fine, you know.
Sure.
And you can do a lot with that. You can do sets of five and sets of threes or singles or high reps, whatever you want to do. Or you can do like the Pavel chains with the different weights and go through and cycle it as many times as you can or whatever. Back would be T-bar rows in the corner.
Yep.
Right? I love those because they're just a big brute movement. They're just ugly and just, you know, there's nothing fancy about that. Trap bar, I like doing for trap bar, hex bar, deadlift.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
Yep.
Also, too, because it puts you in a better position, I think.
I think so.
Anatomically, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
you can't do your, you know, do yourself injury as easily. And you can move more weight, too, because it's a more natural path. We talked about bench press. Okay. Well, floor press. I like doing floor presses better.
Yep.
Because, in my opinion, because of the mat work and the grappling, if anybody does that, like I've done that and do that, that's more carryover for that. Because if you're doing wrestling or grappling, you're working off your back and you have to move people around, you know, kicking out of pins or whatever, right?
Sure.
So that's what the floor, you're basically in that position when you're doing a floor press. Sledgehammer strikes on a tire is for abs and cardio and shoulders and like shoulder health and back and forearms. It's awesome. Ask, you know, anybody, you know, and it's just in a good, it's a good anger management tool, actually.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
I think I should show up to an anger management group with a couple of sledgehammers and tires. I don't know how that would work out real well for me, but maybe that's a niche market. I don't know. Wrist rolling for forearms. I love that.
Yep.
I mean, that was one of my secret weapons for arm wrestling, just because. You have to, you know, just because of the burn and, you know, the endurance that you get off of that, you know.
Yeah.
For, like, lower back, hamstrings type thing, I discovered reverse hypers, if people know what those are. basically they're the reverse of a back extension. You can do them with a machine, or you can do them with bands, or you can do them on a whatever, right?
Yeah.
Basically, that pretty much saved my lower back at one point, and that was you know, on the A list as far as that goes. Shrugs I also like. I started doing them sitting down, so the bar path is more behind me where it's kind of supposed to be, because your traps are in your back. They're not just on your shoulders. They're more connected to your middle of your back, so I can do that a little bit better that way.
So, well, I mean, you gave everybody a list for sure, but, you know, I still like any form of the squat. That's always going to be my favorite, because I think the squat, well, people argue up and down, squat, deadlift, deadlift, squat, whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll address both of those things. We're doing a lot of film, and it's not going to be out till next year because there's so many things going on here right now. Number one, I am going to get, as long as I get my niece over here in the next few weekends before the end of the year, I'm going to finally get the tri-quad dead stop, dead start squat. Now, for anybody that's heard me talk about it, and plenty of people have inquired about it, this is a squat where you're going to start. One of the main things you're going to have to do is you're going to have a power rack. There's no ands, ifs, or ors about it. A bar that you're not worried about hurting the knurling at all, because when you start this thing off the rods, the idea is to have it literally dragging across either the front or back of the power rack. I don't know how you stand in it. And the thing is, there's no arms holding the bar. And you got to be a pretty goddamn good athlete to be able to push off the middle of your thighs and stand up with this beast. Now, it took me a few workouts because I was, that's why you want it in the rack for safety, because I'll tell you right now, you're going to dump that bar quite a few times. And you start moving up in weight, you know, you don't want to take a chance of standing outside with nothing around you, because you can get screwed up pretty good. I mean, I don't know how you would even get it on you. You know, you could try to pull it out of squat stance. That wouldn't be too smart. I mean, especially I train alone. But this movement is obviously brutal. And I've already come up with a way to not only do isometric holds with this thing, but I have a number of rods that I've done and had built for me where I can run this movement at two different positions in the power rack and not interfere with one another. So basically, I can have two bars running at once, and it's pretty interesting stuff. This is going to be the 15th module on the Winners and Champions, Inc. product. I just put out a 14th one called The Heart of Steel. So there's pretty interesting stuff here. Now, getting into another piece of the squatting, I was saying that John McKean and I are doing some stuff I call mashing middies. I've trained the power rack for years, and I still think it's the greatest piece of equipment ever invented, undoubtedly. I mean, you need a barbell, obviously, to lift in it, but if you know how to utilize a rack, you can get extremely large and strong and fast. And I have a number of reasons why I'm doing this, but to train specifically at the midpoint with everything, I mean, you have no leverage at all. There is nothing. And I mean, I've had to drop hundreds of pounds down in things, all right? And if you got an ego, or that bothers you, you're not going to last long with this. When I was speaking to John the other day, there are gentlemen in the 40s and 50s doing this stuff. We can't find a lot of information, but they're of John's era. So John knew, I believe, some of these people that were doing this stuff. And a couple track and field guys that were very, very big in this. When I spoke to John, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago before I spoke with him this past Saturday, he said to me, I'm going to wet your whistle a little bit. I'm like, okay, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to give you two names, and you go out and look them up. And I was like, okay, we'll do that. I'd be more than happy to do that. So he gave me some names. and I went out and looked them up. And I'm not even going to get into this because it's very big. And let's see, I want to see if I can find one thing here. If I can click this thing, I will tell you, let's see, I don't think, oh yes, I do have it. I want to give you one of the names for sure because I don't want to mess this up. The gentleman's name was Bob Simpson. Now, I've got a big thing on my wall because John used to follow him like crazy. These guys were blowing every record away with everything, and they only trained at the middies, and then they would go off it and test their top lifts, meaning the lockouts, or whatever they were going to do with everything. Bob Simpson, back in the 50s, did a lockout with the standing press, 1,070 pounds. 1,070 pounds. You want to talk about girth and size? This is stuff, you know, we used to see Anthony DiTillo do. And Anthony and John are the main guys that I credit fully for getting me into power rack training. I mean, these guys were so far ahead of their time. And what John related to me was this. The reason why most people would not play around with the midpoint, number one, it was absolutely devastating to your body. Number two, most people would never drop their weights 100, 200, 300, even 50 pounds because they didn't feel it was anything that would ever help them. Well, I can't wait till I get ready and go away next year because it's already influenced the carrying of stones and cleaning them. It's going to be pretty interesting because at the weight, in fact, John was saying to me, I ought to be able to get up to what I was doing, he feels, within the next 8 weeks. We'll see how everything goes because this stuff is mashing. Mashing. And it's, you know, right now, all I'm doing, you know, I mean, I'm way down with a lot of stuff and I'm doing just what he said. Add 5 pounds a week and watch what's going to start happening because suddenly you're going to start getting all those big lifts again. You know, 5 pounds a week. I'm doing the same stuff twice a week besides the stone training. I know it's only 10 pounds a week, but you got to realize it's a whole different style. All that stuff I built prior to it with the bigger and bigger weights, it's all going to come back. The main thing I'm doing with this right now is I want to be able to start my dead start squat anywhere between 500 to 700 pounds. That's the goal, all right? Same way with the bent row in the rack. It shouldn't be a problem of pulling a 500-pound row like that either. You'll have to use straps at that point, but today I went to 350 with it with an isometric hold, and I had no straps on, and my hands didn't break one bit, and it's freezing here. So that's the stuff. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff, especially with the rotation of the trap bar like Jeff was just talking about, because we've had multiple strongmen on here lately, a lot of new people on here too. I mean, I can't wait to get some of them back on in January. We had Mark Haydock on here. This guy's a beast, man. I think he's about a 235er. I mean, this guy deadlifts like a machine, like a squat, and he lifts anything. And when he goes back to the gathering this fall, he wants to be able to finally walk the Dinnies the way Donald Dinny did across the bridge and back. I mean, he is just unbelievable. But there's one thing that I really drew from Mark besides his enthusiasm. Mark does, I don't know how many days a week he's doing it totally besides doing the regular deadlift, and he pretty much sticks with the trap bar. He's a big believer in the trap bar, and I think he's like in the sevens with it easily, and I think he's pulled, I want to say a partial over 800 pounds. I mean, he's a brute. He told me one of the secrets he felt to successful stone lifting with everything else, he does some form of grip work every day. It could be anything, a thick bar. It could be any type of thick device. Like, you know, David Horn's rings aren't super thick, but it's a hell of a way to train your hands on. I do a lot of stuff with that, Titan's Telegraph. Obviously, when you build the the name escapes me right now, but it hooks right to the pin. It'll come to me. But there's a million things you can use every day. And, you know, I've incorporated a lot of that. I'll go out for 15 minutes and screw around with that stuff. But you're gaining and gaining and gaining. See, the thing is, people got to realize is this. You don't have to go brute heavy every day. It's the things like that that really change the dynamics of what you're doing and what your big goals are. Take it, Jeff.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, first of all, I'm really interested to see that video of the squat that you're going to post, because I think I was one of the first ones who asked you about that.
Yep.
Because I actually do probably 99% of my training by myself.
Yep.
With the power rack, and I do the bottom position squats,
yep.
Like dead start, dead stop squats,
yep.
And dead start, dead stop bench presses,
yep.
And things and shoulder presses that was introduced to me by watching videos from our friend Brooks Kubik, who
sure.
was on the show a long time ago.
Yep.
So that's how I got into that. So I'm interested. I'm going to probably even try that and see how I can make out with the, with your version there when I see the video.
I think you do very well. The main ingredients with that, and I'm not going to get into a lot of stuff because that's all going to be part of the package to sell. But I mean, I'm going to give you a little bit and show you what I do. I'll show at least the bottom position. You know, the main thing is you're going to have to make sure you got a bar you're not worried about knurling on if you're rubbing against the rack. That's very essential. And second of all, I don't care who you are and how big your traps are, it's a whole different lift. It's a balancing lift where, you know, you can't come up wrong on one side. You could dump it like that. And the thing I love about it is you're going to build balance through your whole system with that thing. I mean, when I initially started, I only started with an empty bar. It was too light, so I ended up having to put a little weight on it because the bar will start to whip on you, especially when you're using, you know, a regular, you know, I have, they aren't York bars, but they're kind of like knockoff bars that I use if I'm going to do like a one-arm press with it or something like that, because what I do is I can take an Olympic bar, tie one end down in the rack, and then have the other sticking out and load the plates on the end and put what do you want to call it, a collar on it, and lift it one arm at a time, similar to a dumbbell. But the thing is, I'm not real easy on stuff like that. So, you know, I've had multiple. I go up to Dick's Sporting Goods, which I'm not getting paid to say that either. I go up there and buy their cheapest Olympic bars. And I'll tell you what, probably after about a half dozen workouts or less, I've got the ends broken off them. I don't want to be doing that to my York bars or any of that good stuff that, you know, you pay $350 or more for a bar. I don't want to be banging and clanging bars. And I don't like doing that in the rack anyways, even though the rods are protected. I don't want to be bending or putting any type of bevels in the thing. So those bars are good, you know, when you talk about doing a row, you know, standing over a row, slamming that bar over in a corner and doing a bent row that way. I mean, I don't want to worry about a good bar like that. If I screw the end up on one of them, well, you know, I'll go out and pay $50 and get another bar. It'll serve the purpose. And I've had people say, well, you bought so many bars, you could have went out and bought a York or whatever. I said, yeah, but even though York barbell I don't think is what it used to be, I still respect the name, and I'm not going to break ends off on a York bar. If it was something that was in a gym and pretty much it was all filed down with the knurlings, I might do it, but then, you know, you could be talking a good circa 1969 bar. So I like collecting that stuff, so it'd be hard for me to kick the living crap out of it. But yes, those tri-quad dead stops, they are absolutely brutal. And it's just the idea of being able to balance something on your traps like that. You have no handhold at all. That, to me, those, not only is it a lift that will build the snot out of you, it's a very athletic lift, because you have to be an athlete, in my opinion, to be able to balance something like that. You start getting in the 300-plus range with that, now we're talking. You know, at that point, too, what it will do when you do them consistently, when I was doing them quite a bit before, you could feel you're building a shelf in the middle of your shoulders. By that, I mean your traps. Go out and look at the pictures I put up of Anthony DiTillo's back. It looks like he's got a bookshelf for the back. I mean, you look at his traps and his shoulder girdle and his rhomboids and everything. My God, man, unbelievable. So go ahead, man, comment on any of that.
One thing I'm really curious about the tri-quads there is I'm wondering, I'm trying to picture it actually in my head as you're talking. I'm wondering if that's similar to what they used to do, the traditional back lift that Paul Anderson and
sure.
Lee Sear. And it,
yep.
I'm wondering if that's a similar type situation, which would be really interesting because I kind of wanted to try to simulate that lift as well. It's
yeah.
probably a longer range of motion, you think, because with yeah. the back lift, I think it was only like an inch or two, pick up the four corners and you're done.
Yeah, so, well, the best way to picture this is just picture yourself going in and do a bottom position dead stop, but you're doing the same thing, only you're not, you don't have your hands behind your head. You're starting out the same way. The main thing is you've got to do two things. You've got to come up as straight as you can and balance that thing, and you will get it. I mean, that'll happen, but if not, two things are going to happen. You're going to dump it, and that's why I said, you know, you got to have those rods there to protect you, or if you start going heavy, you got to be careful. You don't want that thing to pancake you, you know, and go forward, basically. That you don't want to do, all right? That could, you could end up getting hurt like that, but the beauty of this thing, if you really give it for a while, let's say you train it 90 days minimum, you'll be amazed at the power. And, you know, you're going to build shoulder girth like crazy because let's face it, folks, those muscles are going to get worked back there like they've never been because, you know, those are your holds right there. That's, you've got to build that area up to stop that bar from going down behind you. All right, that's a big thing. Most people, I don't care how developed they are, they're going to have issues with that first. I mean, I've been doing that stuff forever. It didn't take a long, long time, but the first two, three workouts, man, I was like, damn. But what I did find with them is it seemed like a little bit heavier, I was able to dig that bar in. And, you know, that's why I tell you, you know, you're going to have to go with a bar that you're not worried about causing problems with your knurling and stuff because really the way to do it, and John stressed this to me, is you've got to drag that thing right up when you, as you're standing up. It's got to be right against that power rack. So it's going to basically scrape right along the rack, the pillars of the rack as you stand up. Now, you're not going to be able to stand fully up, mind you, too. Remember, if you stand fully up, where's that bar going? It's going right behind you, down behind you, okay? So you're almost up at the top. You're going to have to judge how far you can go with that thing before it starts slipping and coming off you. So it's not only just the idea of how great the lift is, it's the idea is how more athletic you can get and what you can build to hold that thing to stand up as far as you can. To me, that's the whole meaning of training. You know, we talk about favorites, the dead stop squat. I love, like you were saying, I love the trap bar deadlift. I like, you know, that's the word I was thinking. You know, I love playing around with Rolling Thunder. You know, Mike Brown, who's been around forever, he wrote for, I don't know, yeah, I think he wrote some articles for Hard Gainer. He's written a few for Milo, and I know I've got an article, I think from the 60s when he used to write for the real Iron Man, Perry Raiders magazine. And I've talked to Mike many times. I have a relationship with him. I think we're going to get Mike on the show. I got a letter from him today. You know, this is the kind of stuff. And, you know, we talk about Mike made, and I have to find it. I don't know where it is in my gym. Mike made me a wooden wrist roller, but it's not a typical piece of wood. The way it's crafted, it is awesome. So all things like that. But those are the things that, you know, I love doing. And, of course, you talk favorites. Who doesn't like a sandbag or a stone? We've really pushed stones this year. And this is why the guys overseas are very happy that, you know, the show has done so much for stone lifting. And of course, we got that page etched in stone. I mean, you know, that's a product that's on its way to come out too. You know, we've got one for women and we've got one for kids. And, you know, that's the thing I believe needs to be done now more than ever, because we've got so many unhealthy little kids, and we have pretty much cut PE out of schools. And what do you think you're going to produce when you've got stuff like that? So the idea here is, you know, talk about these favorite movements. And that is what the discussion is, where you can get people interested in doing things. And as I say, no matter what's done here or what's discussed, you know, I can take any of it and break it down to its smallest particle that you want to lift. You don't have to lift a 400-pound stone. We'll build a 25-pound sandbag. Is there a lot of difference? Hell yeah. But anybody that I've gotten in the sandbags here, most of the time have gotten a stone lifting. So I know you can take things like that from strongman or what we're talking about, rack work here. You can take it and trim it down to any size you want. And if you got a willing person here that really is hungry, as I say, they would be amazed at what would happen to them. You come here, I don't care what you eat, what you're doing. I'll put you on a program where we'll start getting you in shape, and then we'll start breaking you down, and we'll start getting rid of just simple things. If you drink soda, stop drinking soda. Wean yourself off. I'm not a person that believes in going on all these extensive things, because you can only do so many things at once. And the idea here with everything, I believe, is to build the internal strength, and everything else is going to follow. Because ask anybody that's really devoted some time to weight training that never did it before, the majority of them are like just hungry as can be. They're insatiable about coming over and learning. See, what that triggers then is suddenly it's like, hey, you know what? I'm not going out and having drinks tonight. Okay, I'm going to go to bed 2 hours earlier than I normally would, because I want to get over and train tomorrow. Same thing with the diet. These things start to transpire from what you build in the gym internally. This is big stuff we've talked about, and this is stuff that Steve Cotter and I are going to be coming out with next year, and things that I've been doing to myself, where I'm going to prove. I'd love to get somebody here that really had some weight issues that didn't have diabetes or any of that, but they've got to trim 100 pounds off for a wedding next year. I'd take them and I'd turn he or she into a superman or superwoman. Go ahead, take it, man.
Well, okay, I think I want to say about this two things. One, I'm gonna have to try that tri-quad squat there. Sure. When I see the video, see how I make out with it, and I'll post a video of my attempts with it, and yeah, it'll probably end. Probably end up on a blooper reel somewhere at first, but that's fine.
The other thing
I want to say too, because we're talking about the holiday season coming and
sure,
Christmas and New Year's resolutions and all this type of thing, and I think what you said was right on about that. Where how many people do we both know, or everybody on the listening to the show right now knows, where you say, okay, it's New Year's resolution time. I'm going to go and I'm going to start eating right. I'm going to start going to the gym every day, 3 hours a day, 5 hours a day. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they want to throw it all together in one bag. And really, how long does that last?
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't, because it's too much. It's too much for them to handle all at once. So what you're saying is, you know, okay, start going to the gym or start doing something physical. Okay, then when you have that part figured out, then yes, start eating better.
Yeah.
You know, cut out the soda and the stuff and the junk food and everything. It's okay to have that once or twice a week.
Yep.
You know, because if you have that once a week, you know, one day is not going to outdo the other six.
Nope.
It's just not. So fine. And but you know, then you start gradually just get up and move, you know, and do things. And then maybe, yeah, you decide I want to go to the gym tonight instead of screwing around till 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, doing whatever, you know, where, or you look at this thing and you go, okay, this is working out really well for me. You start looking in the mirror, you start just feeling better about yourself doing things, and that's good. And maybe you drop 10 pounds, and that's good, and you start feeling better about it. So, well, let's take a look at this part too. Maybe I can start doing this as well, and maybe I'll lose another, you know, 10 pounds, let's say, and you just keep going, and then you're building yourself.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's the easiest way to, the saying goes, what's the easiest way to teach somebody nothing? Show them everything.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what people try to do. They go in and they throw everything at them, you know, on December 31st, and by January 2nd, just done.
Yeah. Look, here's the deal. You know, we see stuff all over the place about this thing, that thing. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'll tell you this right now, what I've noticed, especially this year, is when I see people hopping from one thing to another, and I've done this, and this works, and this, all right, that's telling me right away that they don't know what they're doing, or if they do, they're still a little bit unsure of themselves. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it again and again and again, all right? The only way to get on track, and I mean, because it's going to branch into everything. I know, man, I've been doing this for the last year, especially to get the business so lucrative and wanting to do so many things, not only with M&M, but obviously with FBC, get these new products out, get overseas and go and chase all those rocks around that I've got invitations to and destroy them all. Because that's, why do you think I'm putting myself through hell with these middies, man? Most people, I know it, and I can't speak for anybody, but I know what John's told me, and I know what I'm doing out there. I don't even know many of my friends that would even screw with this stuff. I mean, that's why I train alone. That's why I go out there when it's 20 below and don't give a shit, all right? That's why my brother-in-law and I are out walking stones with knee-high snow, with snow coming down that you can barely see it, that you're falling and the stones dropping in front of you, or literally I've had my flannel shirt stick right to the stone. I mean, freeze to it, all right? But that's a whole nother thing. But it all incorporates into what I'm going to say here now. Most people are not looking at the true avenue to get you rolling. And that is, you build the strength from within your body. If you're looking constantly, like all I see on the Facebook matinee show, as I call it, is blah, 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 I'm doing this, and look. Really? Well, how come I hear you a few weeks later and it's the blah, 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 I'm doing something else now, and look, I'm telling you right now, you're going to bang your head and spend a lot of money on things and people you don't need to. You need to find somebody, if you don't know, to take you through and teach you how to build your strength with a barbell or a sandbag. I don't incorporate stones into anybody until they're proven and can do that, because I will not hurt anybody without, at least not consciously, all right? Now, once you start attaining that strength from the inside, then we start going and talking about the mental stuff, and you're going to start to discover that on your own. Then we're going to talk about, I don't even call it diet. I just say, what are you sticking in your mouth? I mean, when I talk, I don't care. When you lift big, damn it, you better eat big, and you better sleep big, and you better hang around with big, All right? That's how you think. You don't think, oh, my God, I'm going to put 2 pounds on if I eat this cookie. This is why people fucking go down the wrong trail. You know why? This shit that people are pushing all over the place makes you neurotic. Because when you're afraid to put a piece of cherry pie in your mouth at Christmas or eat 4 Christmas cookies with your family, you got problems, folks. And when you do that, you're going to even put more weight on. But I'm going to give it to you momentarily. Here's what you got to do. You got to learn to start building that strength from the inside out. And that means getting down and dirty with a barbell initially. And that means you might bleed a little bit. You might scuff your arm. You might get your ass defeated so bad you're in tears. But you know what, folks? That's the stuff that's going to make the man or the woman out of you. It's not if I come over to you and have to keep patting you on the back and telling you how great you are, and don't worry about it, you'll get it next time. I'm going to tell you, chances are you're not going to like what I'm going to say to you, but there's one thing I always am with anybody. I'm fair with you. You show up and you give everything you got, we'll rectify it, all right? But the thing is, you got to realize you got to get like Spartan tough. And if you read anything about Sparta or you read anything about the Legion of Rome, you know, it's like their attitude was their attitude. Come get it. We are superior. If you don't think that way, and I know in today's world, you never say you're superior to anyone because that's just flat out wrong and you're making me feel bad. You know what I'm going to tell you, and I don't like saying this much, but fuck you. All right, Jeff, it's all yours.
Okay, well, for about the, you know, program hopping, I'm going to call it, or it's the newest and latest and greatest thing, you know, every month it seems, right?
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, look at it this way. You even said about this a minute ago. You have to do this program for 90 days.
Yeah, right.
You know, you have to work this exercise for a minimum of 90 days to get it right.
Correct.
I'm not saying that this is, and I know that you didn't mean it like it's a 90-day fix, okay?
Yeah.
Like some other, you know, things that we're going to see probably in about a minute with all the New Year's type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm sure. And I hope that my Facebook posts are interesting enough as part of the Facebook afternoon matinee show. I try, but at any rate, I mean, it's just like we were talking about before. Okay, you start this thing, everything on December 31st, and
yep.
Then you're dead by January 2nd or 3rd.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to throw a little bit of a plug in here right now. They're going to have I'm in competition mode training right now.
Okay.
Because what they have now as part of the Arnold Schwarzenegger Fitness Expo, the Arnold Classic in Columbus, they've added the disabled strongman to that.
Awesome.
This year is the second time they're doing this. They tried it. They started it last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, my friend R&R from Iceland, of course,
yep.
is the inventor of that, and he's the head of that, and that's his deal, right? And it's awesome. The fact that's going to be on the stage at the Arnold, you know, the Arnold's is the biggest stage in the world, pretty much for anything related, right?
Yep.
So, and am I going to train for that in a week? No. Am I going to train for that and be ready for that in like a week or two? No. You know, I'm looking at it where, hey, man, it's a 16-week process, 4-month process to get ready for this one thing. You know, how many guys do you think, you know, they take one jiu-jitsu class
right.
and then they turn around and say, hey, man, I want to be in the UFC. No, it doesn't work that way.
Nope.
You know, I mean, or anything. Like, we can talk about this for another hour, okay? and with your stuff, how long have you been training to go and lift the stones and carry the Husafelt stone in Iceland?
Yeah, 9 years.
Okay, that's not, you know, and are you going, you know, it's not like we talked about it today and you're getting on Iceland Air tomorrow to do it.
Right.
No.
It takes, yeah,
that would
right.
be really, that would be really not a good plan.
No, because anything like this stuff we're talking about has to be planned out. You have to have a vision. You have to understand. And look, even when you go over there, you don't know. You're going to – the one thing I like about stone lifting for sure, and it's the same way with the rack work, either make it or you don't. There's no excuses, and you're going to learn right away, especially if you train alone like Jeff and myself do. You're on your bloody own. And I think that works in a lot of good ways. For instance, you go away somewhere. Obviously, you're going to meet the guys. You're going to have a ton of camaraderie because I just know from talking to these guys on the show and offline, they're dynamite people. And they're people that push you. But you know what? The bottom line, ladies and gents, is this. When you're lined up with a big stone that could break you in half, it's you. And all that stuff you did prepping out, you know, when you're out in the yard, it's 20 below. When you're in a snowstorm and freezing your ass off, but you're still out there doing it, that can be the make or break when you go away to an Iceland or a Scotland or an Ireland, okay? Because what you formed is this toughness, man, this Spartan-like toughness where you can stand in front of your opponent and slaughter him, looking him right in the eye. It's really the way it is when you go after these stones or whatever you want to do. It's an opponent. You might love it, and you might respect their tradition and the years it's been there and all the DNA that's been on that before you. But let's face it, when you're coming head-to-head with something that you know, these stones alone could kill you, literally, all right? What are you going to do, man? You going to sit there and make nice with it, or are you going to try to cut its heart out? I'm going to cut its heart out, and then we'll shake hands at the end when I just did it. If you have that type of sense of duty and honor to yourself and the traditions of what you're going over to do, guess what? You're a successful SOB. Believe me. And that's what it's all about. That's why we talk about favorites. That's why we talk about the things you like to do, the things that we want to inspire others to do. Like I said, you don't have to go lift a mountain. No one's asking you to do that. And that's what's the deal with all this stuff going on now. Oh, I lift this, I do that. Well, you want me to tell everybody something? Most of the time when you're seeing these people lift these things, the majority of them, not all, they're in their peak condition or they're not going to show you their failures. And you ask any of those guys right in the WSM, they'll tell you they've had a billion failures to pull off that 1,000-pound deadlift. You know, what do we watch Eddie Hall do this year? Amazing. You know, Thor, I think I just saw a picture of him pulling 966. I mean, it's unbelievable, man. But they didn't get to that 966 just like that. It took years to build that up. Yeah, they're a little bit more exceptional than a lot of people out there, but that doesn't mean squat to me. What it means is they decided to have that insatiable hunger inside where no matter what, they were going to capture what they thought was what they needed to do. And, you know, when you keep having success, success, success like that, success breeds success, okay? Those are the things you got to make up your mind to. And when you go out and say, okay, this is one of my favorite movements, I'm going to go compete like Jeff, you know, in the Arnold. Whatever it is he wants to do there, I know there's multiple things they do, but maybe there's one lift out of the pile he likes better or he excels better in.
So go ahead.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, but there's so many things that are involved in what we do, and people just don't understand the circuitry that's going on in your body all the time. It's absolutely amazing to see what weightlifters and stone lifters do, in my opinion. I mean, you see an Olympic lifter. How do they just jerk 502 over their head, and it looked like lightning in a split second. Think about what's going on there. You know, you watch guys like Jeff or like Gary Clark. Absolutely amazing. You know, I'm watching a guy lift a stone and put it on a barrel while he's in a wheelchair. I mean, if that doesn't inspire you to get out of your own way and go do something, I don't know what it's going to... Hey, look, everyone knows my brother Jimmy, muscular dystrophy, passed away from it. What's the two businesses dedicated to? FBC and M&M. Jimmy. What got me into weightlifting? Jimmy. What even spurned me on more? The Incredible Hulk. It's amazing how series of things in your life and events that happen that you can either take it on the chin and lay down, or you can get up off your ass and do something. Not everybody wants to be the top gun. I got it. But man, oh man, isn't it important to be able to get out of bed in the morning and feel refreshed and ready to go and know you're going to make it through the day, and then we're going to plot our next thing for the next day. I think those things are essential. And if you don't have them, it's time to go out and get them. Especially, what do we got here? It's the 11th. We got 20 days, and 2017 is gone, if you can believe it. Jeff, summarize everything. Finish up. Give out any of your information. I'll give mine, and we'll get ready for next year.
Okay. Well, I wanted to touch on the thing that you were talking about there, because we can talk about that for quite a while. We could do like a part two, part three, whatever, you know. You're right. A lot of people, and I don't want to do a negative on this thing. I'm not going to end on a negative note, but you're exactly right. I see that all the time where a lot of people, when we're walking around in the mall or we're walking around going out to get something to eat or going for a cup of coffee or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I'm very much a people watcher. Okay.
Me too.
I sit there and watch people and kind of get the gist of what they're doing or, you know, whatever, or kind of, not that I'm being nosy or anything, but you can kind of get the feel of what people are doing or how they talk to whoever's with them or whatever, you know. And honestly, the way I am and what I do, I'm sorry, I can't relate to a lot of what's going on.
Me either.
And I look at them and I'm like, you know what? I'm not even, because you can't relate to what I'm doing either. There's almost no point in even engaging in that in a conversation, because what they're doing just doesn't get it. You know, whether the biggest thing in their life is to go to get their smokes and lottery tickets.
Right.
You know, I mean, and like I said, I don't want to go on a negative rant here to end, you know, and I'm not. But I mean, what you said is exactly right. You know, we go out and do these things that people don't even register. Why would you do that?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And the other thing I wanted to end on, too, and this is exactly what you said, where you're, let's just say, a friend of mine just broke the deadlift record for her category.
Yep.
You know, she's a competitive power lifter.
Yep.
And she's getting ready for nationals. She's broken the record for the deadlift with 512 pounds.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to send some information for you about her. That would be good. And, you know, and Eddie Hall deadlifted 1,100 pounds. Right. Everybody saw it. But here's the thing. How long did it take to get to that point? How long did it take to the point for you to go to Iceland and do your thing?
Right.
And the other thing that you said, too, that's a very special thing. When they did that and you did that, they were in peak condition training. Could they turn around? Let's say, all right, Eddie Hall did the 500-kilogram deadlift. Everybody saw it.
Yep.
It just about almost killed him, okay?
It did almost, yeah.
Right. So can he turn around the next weekend and do that again? No. You know, and that's why something like that is special, and that's why you have to work hard and long to get it.
Yep.
I mean, you may go to Iceland, you know, and lift the Husafelt stone and carry it, but will you ever do that again?
Who knows? You know, things like that, you never know because, you know, as Bill Crawford said in 2008 when we went, this might be the first and the last time any of you come over here. I mean, one thing that, and I'll bring it right back to you. I don't know how you couldn't go there and not want to go back. The country is absolutely insanely beautiful and everything there. I've most beautiful women other than Italy I've ever seen in my life. But it'll be real interesting when I go to Scotland and Wales and Ireland. Hopefully everything gets done next year in 18 with Martin Janzik and Stevie Shanks and Charlie Oliphant and all these guys, Douglas Graham. I've been dying to meet Paul Gray. There's a huge list. You know, Martin invited me to go on the Rogue Tour with him. Who knows who else? We've got our good buddy Ryan Stewart. He's trying to twist my arm to go to Iceland in July. That's when he's going. We got to see how the businesses shake out because it's not a cheap thing to do. And to be honest with you, I really don't want to just go to Iceland and come home. If I'm going to train, I'm going like with Martin and we'll meet in Iceland, go to his home ville of Scotland. He wants to go to Wales. That's his idea. And then we'll go over and meet Jack and Stevie Shanks because the invitation is there for there. And you go lift the Shanks stones, which are even bigger than the Dinny stones. So very exciting stuff. So people don't realize, see, the magnitude of all this stuff is huge. It's absolutely huge. And I love to hear people say to me, well, it's only lifting a stone. And I'm saying to myself, man, oh, man, if you even knew what it entailed and what it involved, and sometimes the heartbreak alone, when, like, we went over and Bill and I both blew our biceps in 2008, that was the longest ride home I've ever had in my life, and it's not that far. I believe it's only 4 hours it takes us. So you're putting an awful lot of yourself in there, and I can tell you this. When I came back, there wasn't one person that said, I told you so. I think they could read it on my face. It was like, we're not going there, and everybody was very supportive. So that's what I say. When there's something you love to do, I would push it right to the limit. Get ready, though, for all the stuff that's coming down the road at you. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing like it when you get onto a plane and go to your destination, and I can just tell you from experience with the Husafell, is as you're coming to the Husafell, when you know you're there, for anybody that's never gone or is thinking about going, you'll see the one-room steeple church and the big gold cross that on a sunny day, it'll blind you. When you see that, you know you're there. And when you make that right or left in there, it's usually a right, you'll see the sheep pen to your left, and you will get the biggest lump in your throat ever, okay? And we always pull down by the church. We always go in. We pay tribute to Snorri Bjornsson's grave. If his great ancestor's there, because he lives right on the property where he carved stones and everything, we always stop in, ask his permission. If he's there, he'll take us all over. You get out of the car, and as you're walking to the sheep pen, you know you're getting close, because if you watch Steve Jeck's video, the picture is the biggest stone there that's carved on one side. That is carved of Snorri Bjornsson. It is absolutely wild. Snow-capped mountains all around you. You'll hear a waterfall. And when you walk up, I don't know where the stone is. Whoever lifted it last, it drops and stays right where it is. So you might have that in your eagle-eye view. You might have to walk around another 20 paces, and there it is. And when you see that, guess what, everybody? Reality just set in. All that work I've done, that big plane ride, that big drive from Reykjavik, I'm here. Now, what do I do? And that is the beauty of all this stuff. You're going to stand it up. You're going to go with every goddamn morsel of testosterone and fire in you. and you're going to lift it or you're not. And if you lift it, I hope you get all the way around the 50 meters. Because let me tell you, I can't tell you, that burns in me every day of the week. But it is a great feeling to know I'm getting back there again. All right, my friend, I took a little while, but finish up and give out your info. And we'll, okay. Shoot.
So, all right, yes, people can find me on Facebook. And I'm also on Instagram, jking152 on Instagram. I will tag myself, or you can tag me in the Facebook post when you post this interview. People can contact me through that. That would be awesome. And also, like I said, I have a YouTube channel with various things as well, if someone's interested in that. And I also want to say, of course, with Christmas coming, you know, Merry Christmas, you yep. and your family.
Thank
and
you.
All the listeners out there. I'm not sure if this is going to get posted before the holiday.
Oh, it'll be up tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay, great, great. So, by, you know, as I said, you know, Merry Christmas to everybody, obviously, out there. Let's look at a good new year.
Hell yeah. It's the only way to look at it. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarboCo.com. Soon to be changed from the Winner's Circle to Winners and Champion, Inc. 14th module is out there now. 15th's coming. What can I tell you? You want to really learn? It's there. And I know people said to me, well, don't you do more video for it? I can do any type of video you want. But Thinker gets you further than video. If you don't learn your craft and you only watch video, because we are all guilty of that, I'll go out and look at the video. Okay. How much experience do you have? And even when I put out the tri-quad, most people probably have never even seen this lift. I'm not saying that they won't be able to do it, but even a guy like Jeff, anybody, it's going to be a learning experience, because unless I'm the guy that's way out in left field, it was a learning experience for me, and I have oodles of experience in a power rack. That's the last thing I'm afraid of. So I think that's the beauty of everything. You know, like I said with Iceland, put your ass out there in the middle of nowhere and then see what you got. See what you got, man. See if you're going to stand or fall dead on your shield. I don't know. That's what you got to look at. Also, too, don't forget this. This is some interesting stuff. Contributions. Where are they? Let's get some contributions in here. We'll get this place ripping. And we'll get quicker than we are. I am working on the outside. Got to do it. You got responsibilities and you got to pay your bills. And the way I want to expand this show, it's going to require a lot of income. Believe me. We'll get it done. 18's coming. 18's going to be a big year around here. Also, too, don't forget to go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at the shows Jeff and I have done. Jeff's show will be up tomorrow. If I get time tonight, I might even write it, but I won't post it till tomorrow because that's a two-hour deal. There's a lot of other stuff I got to do as soon as we get off here. Don't forget, too, sign up for the free newsletter. That's on motivationmuscle.com. It goes right to my MailChimp account. You'll be on when I put them out. You'll get one fresh in your mailbox, and that's the way it is. Thanks, Douglas, for doing the site, and I know we got more to do. It looks exceptional, believe me. It is awesome. Also, too, I joke about it, but I'm serious. You know, you see the way the NFL, there's more news today. I mean, they are losing their shirt this year with attendance and selling stuff and all that. And we know Papa John's dropped off. I say it all the time. Anybody that knows Papa John's, tell them to come here. You'll get the best spot. You know, we will get you out to not only our people, but we'll even grow our audience more. We don't play any political games here. We've talked about things. I got news for you. We want strength. We want to build strength through the young people, through any age. We want to get everybody involved mentally, the whole deal. Come aboard here. We'd welcome you with open arms. Also, too, iTunes and Stitcher, Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We thank you for that. If you'd like Jeff and I to do a particular show, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. And I'll leave you, well, one more thing. To get us in your car 24/7, AHA directory, that's aha. You get motivation on all the time. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life forever. As my mom said, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. The great Russell Furr, who's going to be on here, he hasn't been on here in a year. He's been doing quite a bit of training, and he contacted me. He'll be on this week, and this is what he said to me when we started out. When I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Brother, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm looking forward to having you back on. As I say, they come and go, and they come back because they know that this is quality programming, and this voice here of mine is going to take this business national. You wait and see. People laugh at me all the time. That'll never happen. How are you going to get there? I'm going to get there because I'm making the way to there. That's what we talk about mentally. That's what we talk about internally. What you think about most, everybody, is what you're going to get, but no one seems to catch it yet. You will, though. Believe me. That's what it's all about. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And like I said, Russell Furr, bang, bang, bang. We know that. Frank Klein, my greatest college professor ever in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. Also, too, John Ridge, greatest chiropractor ever. He used to walk everybody to the door and say, keep smiling, and that works, believe me. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we're not going to kick your door in. We'll blow the roof right off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. It's that important. We want you and you want us in your lives for the next 30 years. Also, as I say, men, boyfriends, get in shape. Your girlfriends and wives don't want to see you looking like a donut. And that goes for the wives and the girlfriends, too. Guys want their women. I don't care. They want you to look good and be in shape. I know in today's world that's a no-no, but I can tell you right now, it really pays because when you're in shape, you live a lot longer and you're a lot happier, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way it is. Les Brown, you all have greatness in you, but we take it 2 steps further. We got your back and we believe in you. And I always give out, before we say goodbye, these 4 books that right now I'm going back and forth with, among a lot of others. Number 1, The Development of Muscular Bulk and Power, Anthony DiTillo. The Ultimate Man's Survival Guide by Frank Miniter. What It Takes to Be Number 1, Vince Lombardi. On leadership, Vince Lombardi Jr. wrote it. His son, Robert H. Schuller, Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do, and that's for damn sure. Jeff, thanks for being on, brother.
Thank you.
You are welcome. So for Jeff King, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have this show up tomorrow. In the meantime, go out and do something great, because why? Life is asking you, and you know what? It doesn't take much to do. I'll tell you right now, it's a lot of fun. And all I can tell you is have a great week. Stay tuned, because we got a lot of new people coming in, and Jeff's show will be up tomorrow. And have at it, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.